I clown. He ran away and joined the circus. But that's never how it goes. The circus came to town and he let it take him. The reasons why aren't important. Bad grades, bad family, bad feelings. The circus gave good feelings when it swung through town each summer. He liked everything about it. The food, freaks, animals, clowns. Those clowns. So funny, so happy. A trip to the circus was always thrilling. First with his parents, then later, after they split up, with his friends. They'd roam the midway, smoking, discreetly pulling from a pint in a paper bag. That fascination with clowns, grease paint, gags, timing, he never lost it. Always wanted to be a clown. That was the job for him. No idea how to go about it other than hiring on with the circus and agreeing to do anything. Anything. Just take me with you. He approached some clowns on a smoke break by their trailer in what circus folk call Clown Alley. They were holy men to him. Offstage, they looked deactivated, low-key, and more human. "Want to be a clown," he said. "Go see the ringmaster," they said. "Good luck." They laughed, suddenly looking again like real clowns. Ringmaster hired him to clean animal cages, feeding and watering too. Hard work, but he did a good job. When they packed up and left town, he went along, but had to travel and sleep with the animals. He kept after those clowns. "Show me the ropes," he insisted. One agreed to teach him. He became a clown apprentice. Ringmaster approved of this only if he continued to take care of the animals, which he did. He liked animals and was never mean to them. Moved a lot of poop, he did. Lots of hay, feed, water. Always hosing out cages, stalls. He smelled like an animal, but it didn't keep girls away. He'd get lucky sometimes, letting some girl from town see the animals up close. He understood that he was no Don Juan. They were seduced by the circus, as he had been. One of the things he'd brought along with him when he ran away was an ancient book on clowning. It was very wholesome, published by some church-run company, but it contained the total how-to on being a clown, or, as it was sometimes referred to, jesting. Clowns had a long fabled history. The word clown derived from the word clod, which, he noted, with amused self-satisfaction, rhymed with odd and god. Soon he became a full-time clown. They hired some other kid they picked up along the way to tend to the animals. He bunked with the clowns and was initiated into their various practices and rituals. He created his own special clown face, august exaggerated features, white around the mouth, ruddy pink base, big red nose, squirting flour, tiny hat, big shoes, of course. Though he studied his clown book, he'd never been book smart. He made up for it with lean body strength, flexibility, and something approaching grace. They had their own book of clown routines, which he devoured and mastered. Yes, no banana, say ouch, henpecked Henry. These went on for several years under the big top with the ringmaster, one elephant, two lions, a few monkeys, and a husband and wife high-wire trapeze team. A regular circus family. The clowns entered the big top and exited in a little clown car, which was actually underneath an ancient golf cart. He never tired of it. One day, a well-dressed man approached him on his way back to Clown Alley. The man asked a few questions, including how much he was currently making. The man said he was staying in town at a hotel and gave him his card. "Call me there," he said. As the man walked away, he read the card and almost fainted. The man was from the Colossal Circus. You know the one. His job was to poach clown talent from smaller operations. After thinking it over, he called and made an appointment with the man. "Should I wear my grease paint?" he asked. "No," said the man. "I've seen it." He showed up at the hotel feeling a little exposed without his red nose and tiny hat. They met in the bar. The man bought him an expensive dinner and drinks. The big circus was owned by a corporation. There was an actual clown college, which had recently closed down, so now they had to recruit from smaller circuses. He told the man he felt like he was being called up to the majors. "Only when you're called up to our show," the man said, "there's an actual show." The man laughed and lit a cigar. "Don't worry," he said. "It won't explode." By the end of the week, he gave notice. The other clowns took it hard. Some were jealous, but most wished him luck, compelled by the sacred bonds of their profession. The Colossal Circus was a mixed bag, mostly good. Food was better, private trailer. They put his face on a poster. That was a big deal. He couldn't believe this was his life now. He soon grew comfortable with it, never complacent, but less anxious. He had a little money, was treated well, and got to do what he loved. Sometimes, after a long day of clowning or traveling, he'd read from his clown book. The big circus had its own clown book, they all do, but he still enjoyed flipping through the simple routines, savoring the cartoon illustrations. Classic clown craft. It reminded him of how far he'd come. When they came to a town, the clowns often visited sick kids in the hospital. He loved doing that. The bald kids on chemo were his favorite. They just lit up when the clowns entered the ward. Every time they left, he'd sit down in his seat on the bus, turn to his fellow circus folk and say, "I clown, and I cure cancer." They'd solemnly smile and nod. They all believed it. He saved a little money. Not much, but enough. He never married, never found the right girl, that is, one who liked to live in a trailer. Sometimes he wished he had kids of his own, but then they'd drive into the ring in their little clown car, and he had all the kid love he could handle. But then things began to change. Attendance began to fall off. The circus wasn't as popular as it once was. The animal rights people were on the warpath. To be fair, lions, monkeys, and elephants would probably be happier in the wild, but they were well cared for in this famous circus. It was a point of pride. Even in the smaller circus, the animals had been treated well, but the animal rights people were determined to change things, maybe for the best. The other thing was that clowns began to fall out of favor. First, they became popular villains in movies. This wasn't hard to understand. Part of a clown's appeal is that he's, well, a little creepy. He knew that. That was the beauty of it. Like a sexy woman in a cop uniform. We're a little in love with what scares us. But this was a whole different development. Movie clowns now epitomized evil. Audiences ate it up. They expected clowns to torture, slaughter, dismember. Some of them specialized in murdering kids, which broke his heart. The other thing was when a serial killer turned out to have worked as a clown, well, the media just went berserk, especially if the killer happened to fixate on kids. Then it was open season. It was humiliating and outrageous. Sometimes local TV news reporters would corner him with provocative questions. He'd be there in clown makeup trying to conceal his rage. He'd wind up looking and sounding like a psycho. It just wasn't fair. There were cutbacks, layoffs. He was pressured into early retirement. The small severance package wasn't enough to live on, so he had to take the first job he could find with a carnival. A carnival is not a circus. It's more like the ghetto of clowning. The people, carnies, have their own culture, their own language. He was, in fact, the only clown in this particular carnival. His job was to put the scare on people as they rode on a light rail through the haunted house. Various monsters would pop out of the wall and try to grab you. They made him change his makeup. Using some of the more popular clown horror movie cliches as a guide, he transformed himself into an angry fiend. It wasn't hard to manufacture the anger part. He acquired fake fangs, gave little or no thought to how he applied his grease paint. The sloppier and more psychopathic, the better. Whereas, before the grease paint contained a happy soul, it now restrained bad intent. Kids had changed. They wanted to be scared, and clowns were the scariest. He considered quitting, maybe become a freelance birthday clown. But those kids were the same kids coming to the carnival, and God only knows what they would be like. And he needed the steady, if not meager, carnival paycheck. The carnival pushed him to be more aggressive, and sometimes he began to feel a foreign, strange sexual thrill if he made a kid cry. Something he knew was completely wrong. He loathed the carnival, his job, and himself. Then one day, he put the scare into this boy, and everything went haywire. A split second before he lunged, he saw something different in the kid's eyes. The boy wasn't just scared. This was true trauma. His parents on either side of him seemed to sense it too. But before he could make an adjustment, the boy jumped out and ran, until he found an exit and didn't stop running. The parents tried to catch the boy, but couldn't. He heard that they later found him on the highway, a half mile away, hit by a truck. He was rushed to the hospital and put on life support. The next morning, he quit the carnival. Though he had no idea where this town was until he looked at a map, he just couldn't go on. He collected his pay and rented a cheap furnished apartment over liquor store. He slept for 12 hours at a time. He began to drink, something he'd managed to avoid all these years, but it now seemed like a good time to start. He barely ate, and when he did, it was crap food. He found a small, cruddy TV on someone's sidewalk with a sign on it that said, "Free. Works." He slept, watched TV, and drank. A few months went by. He tried to remember his old life with the big circus. It seemed like all that had happened on another planet. One day, the local news reported that the boy, who turned out to be autistic, had been taken off life support but was still in a coma. Doctors were hopeful. When he heard this, he was sitting, slumped in the ratty easy chair, holding a watery drink in his hand with all the ice melted. He got up, waddled over to the kitchen sink, and dumped out the drink. Then he opened the cupboard and emptied all the bottles as well. He sniffed his armpits and realized he stank. Showered, shaved, brewed some coffee, opened the windows, changed the sheets, did laundry. He began to buy actual groceries and cook real meals. He started a regimen of calisthenics and began to regain his old form. A few weeks later, more news. The boy had come out of his coma. His parents were on TV thanking everyone for their prayers, cards, and good wishes. He didn't recognize their faces from that fateful night. It had been dark in the haunted house, but in their combined features, he could clearly recall the terror-stricken boy. They thanked the doctors. The kid was still recovering. They said he could now talk and move his legs. This last bit of news caused him to break down and cry. When he'd pulled himself together, he got on the phone. He tracked down the boy's parents. He explained who he was and what this tragedy had done to him. They got his whole life story, how he'd once been a circus performer. Not a cheap carnival sellout, but a real honest-to-God clown in the most famous circus of all. He begged them for a chance to visit the boy as his old clown self. This was something he was good at, he told them. He'd visited many children in the hospital over the years and was sure this would be a good thing. They were uncertain at first, but finally agreed to meet him at the hospital the next day outside of intensive care. All night long, he could barely contain his excitement. He visualized everything, the gags, the props, what he'd say. Surely this would be a healing and happy experience. In the morning, he got up and readied himself. Shaved, shower, makeup. He put on his big floppy shoes for the first time in ages. Ditto the squirting flower. He filled it with water, tested it in the bathroom mirror, popped on his nose, and adjusted the tiny hat. He ran downstairs to the liquor store, bought some candy and other items. It felt so good. Proudly and merrily, he strode to the hospital, prop bag in hand. People stared in awe, pointing and covering their smiling mouths. He was in total character, his old self, as he entered the hospital. He followed the signs to the intensive care unit. Outside the ICU stood the boy's parents. He recognized them from TV and, well, they had no problem recognizing him. "Why, hello there," he boomed with a big grin. "Hi," said the father, meekly. "I'm excited to be here, shall we?" Something seemed wrong. It suddenly occurred to him that perhaps there had been a complication. He hoped and prayed that the boy hadn't fallen back into a coma, or worse. An uncomfortable pause. "We talked it over," said the mother, almost in a whisper, looking to her husband. The husband wrapped a supportive arm around his wife. "What she means is, look, this is hard, buddy, but we really don't want to risk re-traumatizing our son. It was, after all, a clown that triggered him, and you..." The father waved his free hand as if fluffing up something. "I am a clown, yes, but I'm not that clown anymore. Can't you see?" "Yes, we understand," said the mother, "but we just can't take a chance that, you know..." "I'm sorry," said the father. The clown tried to remain smiling through all this, but it was too hard. He bowed his head and mumbled, "Okay, I understand." Then he looked up, forced a smile, and insisted, "No, really, I do." The husband batted his fist against an oversized button that opened the twin doors to the ICU, eager to be done with this unpleasant interaction. Like the elevators, electronic doors in hospitals take forever to open. During this protracted, awkward wait, he suddenly remembered. "Hold up, sorry. Listen," he said, "I brought some goodies for him." He handed over the bag, and the parents peered inside. Mother reached in and pulled out a drawing pad with multicolored pens. She held it up, confused. The clown said, "I heard on the news that he was artistic." This seemed to confirm something between the mother and father. The mother nodded, and the two parents quickly passed through the twin doors, which seemed to close faster than they opened. "Thanks," said the father, over his shoulder, just before the doors shut. For many minutes, he stood there in the hall, alone, until a uniformed delivery girl rushed by, grasping a big bunch of balloons. The delivery girl stopped, turned, and removed a single red balloon from the bunch and gave it to him. She winked and grinned before going on her way. Red balloon in hand, the clown smiled.